gonna wake up and shake the sky with a cry. She gonna rise, she gonna rise, she gonna rise. Sister gonna get up and wipe the tears from her eyes. She gonna rise, she gonna rise, she gonna rise. Sister gonna stand up to all the bullying lies. She gonna rise, she gonna rise, she gonna rise. Gonna look at the man with the blood in his eyes. She gonna rise, she gonna rise, she gonna rise.
Grammy winner Paula Cole will be playing a pair of shows this coming Friday night at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs, New York. Her 10th album, Revolution, came out last month. Her 1994 debut, Harbinger, was followed by a double platinum second album, This Fire. Her hit singles, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone and I Don't Want to Wait, her Best New Artist Grammy, an additional 6 Grammy nominations, and becoming a Grammy-nominated producer and founder of her own 675 record label. With Revolution, Cole tells a story of those sidelined by gender, age, and race, and speaks out for those who have been silenced. These songs explore familial and personal wounds and tell important and sometimes terrible truths. Again, Paula Cole will be at Cafe Lena on Friday night for shows at 6 and 8:30, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Paula Cole back to the roundtable. How are you?
Hello, Joe. I'm very glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's always wonderful to have you on the program, and it's even more wonderful to have a new album in the world from you. It makes it feel like it's a better place. The world is a better place when we have more music from you, I think.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So we'll get to the shows in a second, but let's talk about the album, Revolution. What brought this on? I talked a little bit about the story told within this album, but how did it come to you as something that you wanted to work on?
I wasn't planning on creating Revolution. In fact, I had recorded 31 jazz standards in a 5-day process and had released my last album, Ballads. And I have the follow-up sitting in the coffers awaiting release. And I was thinking that was my trajectory to release Ballads too. That had been going very well for me also. But these social political times are alarming. I very much take to heart the saying by Picasso that artists are the politicians of the future, that I believe in taking on the mantle that music should be more than just my own healing. It should be for everybody. And I believe that the times are calling artists now to speak out on an illegitimate presidency, on the need to vote, on the need to get off of our sedentary laptops and band together and stand up for our rights and stand up for endangered species, the planet. There's just so much alarming news that I needed to set aside my trajectory, my plans, and make a work for all of us. I feel that I'm more eloquent in my music than I am possibly in an interview like now. I'm more eloquent through my music.
I find that hard to believe, but you know, it's interesting because we think of history and how important music has been to motivate us and to get us active in the past. And you look at now and you see yourself and others who are doing this, and it is important, isn't it?
It's absolutely vital. And I think the greats, they aspire to do that, and they did that. So I'm looking to the masters in music as guidance. Billie Holiday dared to sing Strange Fruit, and Nina Simone, you know, Mississippi Goddamn, and I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free, and Bob Marley and Marvin Gaye and John Lennon and Bob Dylan and Loretta Lynn. You can look across every genre, even N.W.A. These artists, Joni Mitchell, they dare to speak out beyond the confines of their own inner drama. Mm. They speak for all of us. They take on that mantle. And we need this art in the world right now. Also, I wanted to interrupt my own silence. I was raised by two silent generation parents, and it's somehow kind of considered dignified or stoic to take it on the chin and always hold it in. So central to this album is my own letting go of stories that I've held on to in silence. It's breaking silence within myself, and also to speak about the times and try to make it joyful so that we are singing these melodies and we are singing these lyrics. And hopefully there's some consciousness being shared to move us, you know, move us to revolution.
Was it difficult for you to break that silence? And in the sense of coming up and saying, okay, I want to write about this aspect of your life, of what's going on in our world, and especially when we're so impacted by our upbringing, that when there is a stoicism, that you remove that, which I know probably is odd to people when they think, oh, okay, well, Paula Cole is a Grammy award-winning performer and she's out on stage, but there's still, right? I would assume you would consider yourself an introvert?
Oh, I test high introvert on the right. Myers-Briggs.
Right.
I'm high introvert.
So yeah. How difficult is that then to break out of that and say, okay, but this is so important, I have to do this?
It wasn't like a declaration. It was like this very quiet process. And actually, I was moved by reading about Bob Dylan's songwriting process in the 60s when he would sit at a typewriter and let words flow on the keyboard, almost prose-like. And so I'm always looking for new ways to approach songwriting so I don't fall into ruts. And I did that on a modern computer keyboard, and boy, did the words really flow. Each verse of this particular song called Silent, being a different portion of my life, adopting silence as a young person in bystanding. Verse 2 is being the victim and adopting silence. The third verse is about being a mother and feeling so different as a working divorced mother amongst stay-at-home moms and the men in the other room, and they don't even mix. Where do I hold conversation in this almost apartheid-like setting? You know, and the fourth verse is just, you know, having lived half a century now, just some ideas and thoughts on silence. The silence isn't working for me, and I'm inspired by millennials. I teach them. I work with them. They are very moving to me the way they process out loud. They're not ashamed. I should say they're less ashamed than we've learned to be as Xers or boomers.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this Me Too movement that has exploded, and I'm inspired by it. I think that this is something healthy for our generations to adopt.
So that song is so impactful because it comes in this package, if you will, and I use that term very loosely, but of a almost a nursery rhyme-like melody, and yet as you work yourself through the story, you're singing about being sexually assaulted by a tour manager while you're on the road. That description is detailed, and it's really hard to get away from.
I know. I suppose it's pretty curt writing on that. But to me, in my mind, like that man is small in my mind. Like I'm not going to waste too much time on him. He's in verse 2. Like verse 1 is another story, and verse 2 is that
right.
story. And I'm fine. Like, I'm so much bigger than that. I realized at some point that I was walking around holding that, and I didn't need to protect anybody anymore. If people live like that, then their karma will come. But I'm not, like, on a mission or anything about it. In fact, my life is so much bigger than that, and he doesn't deserve the time. But I guess the story is more that silence isn't necessarily functional.
Mm.
It's the only thing that I learned because of, you know, especially being a New Englander. I'm from, like, the tip of an island off the north coast of Massachusetts, like Cape Ann, where Gloucester fishermen and all that perfect storm. I'm from Rockport, Massachusetts, and I grew up with stoic New Englanders of the silent generation. So, yes, you just are expected to take things and continue on forthrightly, no complaints. And I just needed to break that.
You think about that, of breaking that silence, and I'm curious as to I find myself asking artists about this a lot, and I'm curious of where you fall. Do you write this as a way of working through what happened, or are you unable to write it until you have already worked through it?
I think, you know, the trauma was done then in my 20s, and yep. I've been in a very, very male music business. It's really been a seat of patriarchy, if I look at it correctly. I mean, when I was at Berklee College of Music as a student in the 80s, it was about 13-1 male-to-female ratio. And then welcome to the music business. I just almost always was the only female, which is, it's very strange. It's a very strange micro-society to be in, and it's not healthy, but... So I learned to be strong, which is perhaps why I didn't fit in with, say, moms as much, you know, in my 40s. But I think that I had to work through it very quickly then in order to stay in the world. I couldn't be a victim, and I don't even consider myself that, because I think of him as so small, and I think of it as small. Like, it didn't really scar me. I'm bigger than that, you
right.
know? So I think that it was more that it's important that I represent my generation in speaking out, because, you know, all of us Xers and boomers, we're carrying a lot of secrets. We're carrying a lot of silence. Things that happened to us in our 20s. I'm sure a lot of sexual assault happened to our generation, and we're not talking about it. The millennials are.
Right.
But it's, let us use their momentum and help ourselves to make a better society. Also, to not pass the silence down to future generations, because then those girls, they subconsciously absorb that dealing method. And then they look to their mothers, and the mothers don't know how to deal with it because they're sitting in silence. It's just a very dysfunctional, self-propagating chain. So I, you know, as uncomfortable as it is, I wanted to speak out. I needed to. It all came kind of very flowingly, poetically. It's a gentle song until the end where I rip it out, but...
which is great. You know, you and I are the exact same age. We're both 51 years old. And I read in an interview with you that you say, as of now, your new personal mantra is, I'm 51 and I'll clean this up for the radio and screw it. But doesn't that come? I mean, obviously there is the gender aspect of this that you have that I don't. But don't you think, just in general of speaking out of all of life's ills, that there comes a point in our lives where we have I always equate it to, you're just the mouse that's been batted about by the cat for enough times that you're like, okay. Now I'm just going to do what I need to do.
Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. Yes, there is a sense of mortality and urgency now, and I'm not wasting any time. I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm not going to suffer fools.
You also talk about this. I mean, obviously we've been talking about the sexual assault aspect of this, but you talk about inspiration coming from the global climate strike, of that being something that really, again, looking at those millennials, looking at those Gen Y kids, and being given, for want of a better term, a permission to speak out.
Oh, sure. And I've long been a huge environmentalist. I was raised by a father who was a musician turned ecology biology professor. So I would go hiking with him in the Appalachians, and and birding with him. And I've been a vegetarian since I was 14, and I'm signing petitions every day. I mean, this is, I absolutely cannot believe what's going on right now, not only with who's occupying the White House, but the, it almost seems like this very directed and malevolent intention to vulnerables, no matter if that's endangered species or LGBTQ or women. It's intentional with the vulnerables in our society, and that's sociopathic. Like that I wish there could be some kind of personality disorder, psychological assessment prior to occupation of, you know, becoming a president.
Of leading the free world, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and to me, the key word of what you just said is intentionality, because that's the most sickening part of it. As you said, it's sociopathic. I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, this is what is the result of, but no, if it's intentionally being done, that's scary as hell.
I mean, there's no coincidence.
Right.
It's every vulnerable minority.
I love in your albums of the varied nature, the diversity of a reggae sound, a pop sound, a blues sound, a gospel sound. That's always been the case with you. I always think of a back in the days when they had record stores, of the person holding your CD in the hand going, "Where the hell do we put this?" I love that, right? That seems like a great thing.
I love that you're talking about it. Yeah. It's true. I don't know how to categorize myself. I never have. I've never fit in to any one genre. And that has perplexed everybody and made me so frustrated. But now that I'm 51 and screw it, now that I'm 51 and I'm looking back at my catalog and looking ahead, I'm really, really glad that it's just me. It's not any one classification. So I'm happy about it. I have a huge array of influences.
You know, one of the greatest afternoons I've spent in a long time is just, I had a car ride and I put on the album and I listened to it from start to finish and then back again. And it's just lovely and beautiful and so special. I assume much of this will be what you'll be performing at Cafe Lena, with what else we would expect from you.
That's right. You know, a little bit of my back catalog that feels apt. I'll do some different songs in each set, because I have two sets at Cafe Lena. So I'll try to diversify it in case anybody comes twice. But yes, I will be featuring new songs from Revolution. I'm really proud of Revolution. I'm also calling upon love and empathy, radical empathy, because I'm so distraught and angry about these times that I'm looking for ways to deal. I'm looking for the words and the mantras that I can say to help me through each day. And they come from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and they come from the Dhammapada. And there's a lot of loving message within the lyrics of this album. So I want to stress that. It's not just like a bloodletting.
No, and I love that you said empathy, because that's been on my radar for a while, and it is such an album filled with empathy and joy, I would say. Paula Cole will be at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs, New York, this coming Friday. She's performing at 6 and 8:30. The new album is just beautiful. It's Revolution. PaulaCole.com for more information, CafeLena.org for more info on the performances. Paula Cole, you're the best. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, Joe, it's such a pleasure, and thank you. And I love that you use the word joy. That is my word.
Thank you very much. Be well. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
PaulaCole.com, CafeLena.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.